Good evening, everyone. This is N2NOV with the shortwave and scanner listeners net. Stand by for any emergency priority traffic. We'll be with the net this evening. Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is N2NOV. My name is Charles from Staten Island in New York City. Welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net. It's heard on this frequency every Wednesday, 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for all those who are interested in the various aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover all the frequencies that you can tune into, from DC all the way up to light, and everything else in between, except for amateur radio. So, we're going to cover what equipment you can use to tune in these various frequencies, who's on the frequencies, where you can find peripheral equipment like antennas and tuners and all that, various modes you're going to run into between voice and data, who's on the frequencies, what type of unit numbers and codes and all sorts of other things. Whatever helps to make this part of the hobby a little bit more enjoyable for you. We have some basic ground rules for this repeater. One, the repeater is located in Midtown Manhattan. It uses a positive shift and a PL tone of 107.2. If you are unable to get into the repeater for any reason, technical difficulties, you're too far away from the repeater, maybe you don't have your amateur radio license yet, you can still participate by sending an email. The email address for this net is nydxa@yahoo.com. That's also the email address to use if you'd like to be put on our newsletter for things like hot breaking news and the newsletter. Mailing list is not rented out. It is only an opt-in for on the list. It's because you requested to do so, and if you want to be taken off, you can request that as well. For those who are checking in on the air, you should give your call sign, your name, what town you're checking in from, so we have an idea of where you are, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net or not. By traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you would like to share with the rest of the group. Don't have any traffic. As you check in, please say, no traffic. And this way we know to go on to the next person on the list. Otherwise, we'll assume that you do have traffic. So at this point, we'll stand by, we space it out, we'll keep the dupes to a minimum, and get everybody checked in. This is N2NOV.
Good evening. WHSQQ, Bob in Elmwood Park. No traffic at the moment, but I'll be checking email. Whiskey 2 Golf Uniform with a bit of traffic. We're in Tarrytown.
PU Gary from Manhattan, no traffic.
WB2SGT, New York City traffic.
WB2KTV, New York City traffic.
N2NOV. KC2FTU, the name is Mark, we're in West Orange, New York. No traffic.
2NOV, KC2OSA, Stephen, Manhattan, no traffic.
N2NOV. This is KC2JXC with traffic.
KC2CD Peter, Manhattan with traffic.
KC2QGG, Mark, Elmwood Park, no traffic.
2NOV. Kilo 1 Alpha Mike Foxtrot, no traffic.
KC2NSZ Manhattan, no traffic.
Okay, let's acknowledge we have checked in so far. We have a few that came in very noisy and were not able to be dug out of the noise. That's what we have. So far, W2SQQ, W2GU, KC2NPU, WB2SGT, WB2KTV, KC2FTU, KC2OSA, KC2JXC, KC2CDZ, KC2QGG. And there was a noisy station with the November 2 call. Then K1AMF, and the last one, it sounded like KC2 Mike November Zulu. Okay, that last station, just not able to make you out at all. It was all noise.
That was KC2NSZ November Sierra Zulu, Manhattan, no traffic.
Ed2NLZ. This is Ed2NHM, Joe and Garfield. Good evening, Charlie, no traffic.
2NLV. This is KC2JRH, Anthony in Brooklyn with traffic.
Okay, N2NHM, you sounded better that time, Joe. KC2 November Sierra Zulu, okay, got it that time. And KC2JRH. Anybody else? Okay, we'll start with the list as we have it, and we'll pick up additional check-ins when we get to the bottom of the list. So, first up tonight, let's see if there's anything in the email and what's been cooking, and thanks for the newsletter, Bob. WA2SQQ, N2NOV.
Charlie, good evening. Yeah, I think I got everything squared away, as I try to explain there in the beginning of it. So, in fact, the next issue is about half done. I'm going to try to keep on top of that and maybe plan ahead so we can keep that coming out. I think it'll work out. Nothing on the email yet, and I'm just looking online here for a few things. As things come in, I'll jump in and say hello. Just listening here, and a little bit of action around here tonight. Hoffman and Roche had a fire over in Nutley there, and they had an incident over at 80 in Hackensack with the state police, and it's been a hopping night here as far as listening goes. So I'll check back with you in a few minutes when some email comes in. WA2SQQ.
Okay, Bob, and the newsletter has already been archived on the website, and the newsletter button on the website is also active with the new issue. For those who haven't been to the website, the URL, www.nydxa.info. Nydxa.info is the website, and you can find all the back issues of the newsletters. When was the first year we did this, Bob? 96, 97, something like that?
I believe we're in year 12. If you look in the top left-hand corner there, I think the next issue will actually start the 12th year. I don't know. God, where did that time go?
Yeah, and considering that the net that we're going to have on... Wow. How's this one, Bob? Wednesday, March 21st. Now, why does that date sound familiar? That will be our 15th annual net. 15 years of the shortwave and scanner net.
I suppose you don't have any tapes. You could you could play from the original ones. But that's for another date and another time. Anyway, I'm just trying to think if there's anything that's come up. I answered a few emails during the week, but nothing really noteworthy. Given another few minutes, I'm sure I'll have some stuff coming in here. And 2NOVWA2SQQ.
Well, I know Ivan, KC2CHE, used to record the net before he got licensed. So maybe I'll reach out to him and see if he has them around somewhere. Didn't that be a blast from the past? Okay, next one up on the list with traffic tonight. W2GU, N2NOV, Goodwill.
Okay, N2NOV, WNUNAC, W2GU. First and foremost, a great and very blessed New Year to you and yours and everybody on the net and many, many more. My traffic is that, that what I heard by the AR Newsline, the upcoming sunspot cycle is going to be a record setter. They're forecasting up in 2011 a 168 sunspot count, and that should be very interesting. So we've got something to really look forward to starting this year. That if by 2011 with a 168 sunspot count, frequencies close to 2 meters and 220, and even outside of those bands for that matter, you're going to get some interesting DF possibly. So it's certainly something to look forward to. And I'm also curious to hear from the members, if anybody has ever with a receiver of any kind ever picked up foreign TV signals. I wonder if anybody has ever done on how well they received. Back to you, NOV, and then had a great and blurry voice of New Year's once again from W2GU.
Ah, the lost art of TV DXing. Many people have gone over to cable and satellite that they probably don't even know what that is. Well, the furthest I've ever gotten was Channel 38 on UHF, WSBK in Boston, back in June of 88 or 89, and on VHF, picked up some signals down in the Baltimore, Delaware, Philly area. But when conditions are right, you'd be amazed what you can pick up. We have a few members of this net who've picked up FM broadcast signals in between the local stations and picked up stations down in Delaware and even Virginia. Tropoducting is just right. But what Will's talking about with sunspot cycles, you know, coming back, we're at a minimum now. But by the time it reaches the peak, about the year 2011, Will was saying they're predicting a very high number. And what that means is that the ionosphere is going to, as far as radio waves are concerned, are going to solidify even more so that the smaller wavelengths, like 10 meters and VHF low band and 50 megs, will start to bounce off the ionosphere as much as 40 and 20 meters do now. So there's a program that we talked about periodically called SW-Log, which you can download. There is a portion of that program that has a MUF calculator. And even though it'll automatically pick up today's information, you can go in there and play with the sunspot numbers and actually see what the propagation would look like with the varying values. I don't have the URL and where to download it, but I believe there's a Yahoo group by the name of SW-Log, and you can just sign up for it and pull it down from there. This is a program that Bob turned me on to a few years ago, and it's the only one I use now. You can download all the different databases from around the world for AM broadcasting and shortwave and all sorts of beacon stations, and I can put all my logs in there and even send out reception reports. Kind of neat program. Okay, let's see. Next one up for traffic tonight. WB2SGT. Evening, Pete.
Evening, Charles. Is my old radio working?
Okay, sound fine.
Nothing like a UV3. I'm trying to think here. Is this forum acceptable for an antenna program?
What was that? You're looking for an antenna program?
I had posted something about the Maxcom passive antenna tuner.
Okay, why don't you describe it?
The Maxcom antenna tuner was a product that was advertised in QST a few years ago. And basically, it was a box. It contained a 52 ohm dummy load made with surplus non-inductive resistors. You plug your radio into it, and it had an antenna terminal, plugged any kind of an antenna into that antenna terminal, what your radio would see first is the dummy log. Then it would see whatever antenna you had. So if you have one of the new solid-state, newfangled radios that would shut down for high SWR, it would see the 50-ohm load first, and you're on the air.
But the question is, what about the efficiency of the signal coming off of that antenna?
The answer is that the device was not made for antenna efficiency. It was made so that your radio would work in an emergency. So, if you had a resonant antenna on the frequency you operated, chances are you had a decent signal out. If the antenna wasn't resonant, at least something got out. That was the whole idea. The second generation of the MAXCOM, since the AWL lab took it apart, was they potted it in epoxy. A dental surgeon brought in a x-ray machine, and they took this sucker apart with the x-ray machine. So, what I'm saying is, in an emergency, you could take your radio and a T-connector, a UHF T-connector, plug your radio into the UHF T-connector, plug one end into the dummy load, the other end of that T-connector, in any kind of an antenna that you can possibly come up with, and you will at least have some form of emergency communication.
Okay, I guess that's one way to think it out a little bit. Look like it's talking to a proper impedance antenna, but in reality, it's only going to go so far. Efficient. I've even heard of stories of people in India taking huge nails and driving them into the side of a tree, and tree as an antenna. Gordon West, who teaches amateur radio classes out in California, has done plenty of demonstrations of garbage cans and mattress box springs and, all sorts of interesting things to show that it can be used as an antenna of sorts. Nothing is as good as an antenna that's properly made and resonant on the frequency you're looking to use it for. And it doesn't matter whether it's on HF or VHF, UHF. Better to find the antenna that works with the frequency that you need. But in a pinch, even 10 feet of wire thrown out your window in a high rise will give you something. So don't despair. Hey, thanks for that, Pete.
You're welcome. I could go a lot farther into driving nails into trees and a lot of other stuff. Like how to convert a KWM-2A into an oscillator. That was an interesting subject. The other thing that I just put on the internet was the original New York State Emergency Communication Centers, Municipal Broadcast. They all had TMC, Technical Materiel Corporation, equipment. I did not know that years later I'd be working for that company. I wonder what happened to all that stuff.
Well, either it got tossed or some enterprising ham got a hold of it before it hit the pile.
I tell you, a GPT-750 transmitter weighs about 1,000 pounds. It's not going to be something you're going to throw in the trunk of your car.
Be surprised if somebody wants something bad enough, they'll find a truck. I don't know. I haven't seen any indication of equipment like that sitting around anywhere, so something must happen to it.
Okay, I'll stand by. I'm still struggling with the death of my mom and the rest of the stuff. I'm planning to go to Dayton. I don't know how. I want to rebuild her Jeep. can go to Dayton.
And just think of it this way, the equipment we have now will be considered obsolete in 20, 30 years, and someone will come out with something so amazing we can't even think about it now. And then we'll start scratching our heads and wonder, where do we put all that stuff? Anyway, let's see. Bouncing around a little bit, on the empty Fed files list, somebody anonymously posted four frequencies that have been activated recently. Federal Air Marshals and a UHF radio system that was installed for the New York field office. Gee, guess where we are? Okay, get your pencils going here. We have four frequencies in the UHF band. Frequency number one is 408.050. Looks like it's a repeater. Frequency two is 418.075. Frequency 3 is 418.575, and frequency 4 is 418.400.
Sounds like some of my old customers.
One of them sounds like an interrupt.
Okay, does anybody need a fill? Okay, let's continue down the list. Next one up for traffic is Ralph up there in the Bronx. KC2JXC, M2NLB. How's it going, Ralph?
Yeah, good evening, Charlie. Good evening to everyone on the net. This is KC2JXC, Ralphie in Bronx County. Charlie, thank you for those frequencies. In fact, part of my traffic today had to do with some frequencies I've been monitoring that are active, and I just wanted to put them out there for the group if they want to jot them down. I could just go through this list, about seven of them. And I actually... In fact, this weekend, programmed those frequency air marshals in, but I haven't picked up anything yet, but we'll see. Let me just drop. Yeah, and I got these frequencies from your site and from the Monitoring Time site, and most of them are federal stuff, and they're in the clear. Sorry I don't have any PLs. I didn't get the PLs on these, but I could give you the frequency, and I'll drop again. Anybody's interested, you want to write some of this stuff down. The first frequency is 139.8250, and they have it listed as FEMA, but I'm hearing some activity in there. A lot of it is in the clear, and a lot of unit numbers and stuff like that back and forth. Second frequency is the Park Security here in New York City. They're very active, and they're on 151.2050. Again, sorry, I don't have the PL. I have them programmed into a radio that doesn't pick up the PL. And interesting, I've been listening to this in the Bronx, and I've taken my scanner into Manhattan, and I'm hearing a lot of these same frequencies active there, too. Let me drop for the third frequency. Third frequency is 162.6150. In one of the websites, it's listed as Merchant Marine, and there is some activity on there. You guys want to tune into that. The next frequency is the federal frequency, 409.0250. That's been active. 408.000, that's active. 415.000 is active. And here's the post office frequency, and they're very active going back and forth. 413.7. And I'll drop in. I'll repeat anything if anybody didn't get anything.
Just going through my notes here, let's see, 139.825 is also listed as in AM mode, used as an interplane frequency for Huntress, which is the Northeast Air Defense, and that's undergoing a little bit of reorganization right now. What was the second frequency that you gave? You had some crackling noise come in with you.
Yeah, Charlie, and you know, please step in and correct any of this because I'm getting this off some websites and I don't know exactly what agency is on there. You're correct, it's on the AM mode side. I didn't mention that. Again, I apologize for no PLs. The second one is 151.205. On the website, it comes out as Park Security in New York City because I've heard them mention Central Park, Highland Park, etc. Back to you.
Yep, yeah, that is the New York City Park System. And they have a couple of different frequencies and use various PL tones to separate out the various boroughs. Let's see, 409.025. That's a repeater for the U.S. Postal Service. I think it might be postal inspectors. I've seen messages on both, whether it's just regular postal activity or the postal inspectors, so you may have to listen.
WB2SGT.
Yeah, Charlie, the reason why I didn't want to call it a postal frequency yet until I spoke to you, because I think you said they weren't in the clear anymore, the postal inspectors. I think you said they went AFCO 25 back to you.
No, they're all over the place. They still have frequencies in the clear. Pete, you got info?
Yes, sir. I assembled the original Parks Department 5-borough communication system. Damn. Over 2 decades ago. It is half duplex, or it was at that time, half duplex with GE mobile units and, the PL systems selected access. It also shared railroad frequencies. Now, it was two channels, and one of them was a railroad frequency because I had to go up to the Bronx and rearrange the J-Pole so that it wouldn't enter New Jersey.
Charlie, I just forwarded you an email.
Okay, Bob.
Charlie, what's 415.0? What's that one? Do you know?
Okay, let's see. 415.0, I don't have anything for that. That's a new one, Ralph.
Yeah, I'm getting some stuff on there. I'll listen to some more, and I'll either send you an email, see if I figure that one out. And did you get the rest of them?
Yeah, 408, it's been noted by somebody to be the output of a repeater with a PL tone of 151.4, but they have not been able to identify it yet.
Roger, roger. Okay, and the last one is 413.7. I happen to know that that's the post office, and I just threw that in there too, to let everybody know there's a lot of activity on there. And interesting enough, I don't know if you got an email from me on New Year's Eve, 123.100 AM mode was really busy. They had 3 choppers up there just flying around New York City. During the ball drop, or before that, actually, during the festivities. Back to you.
Oh, yeah, 123.100 AM mode is the quote-unquote company frequency for the aviation unit of NYPD, but they also interface with other law enforcement aviation units on there, as well as a few other frequencies. So, yeah, I would definitely expect that one to be busy during any large mass event, if it's demonstrations or a fleet week.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I knew the NYPD was there, and they were chatting back and forth, and then some other agency came on there, and they said, well, we have 3 up here. That's how I knew they had 3. And they asked the guy how many did they have up there, and I think he said 3 also. So I think there was another agency up there flying, and they were all talking on that channel. Back to you.
Yeah, it probably had some New Jersey State Troopers in their helicopter in Nassau County and Westchester. You know, whoever's got a chopper is probably talking to each other at that frequency that night. So I wouldn't be surprised.
It was interesting this time this year because I always monitor the ground guys. The guys down there, the units on patrol down there, and it's always interesting. It's just got to focus in on one frequency, though, because there's so much going on and all the different units in the different frequencies. But this time I stuck to just that one channel, the aviation, and it was enjoyable. And that's all I got, Charlie. Good evening, and happy New Year's to everybody, and standing by after your return. KC2JXC.
Okay, Ralph. The 413.700 frequency is actually part of the UHF trunk system here, and it's actually in Manhattan. And the biggest user of it is the Postal Service. That frequency and a few others tied together. I'm just trying to see where I've got the other channels right now. Let's see, 418.350 is one of the other frequencies that trunk system. Motorola Type 2. 415.150, 415.550, one or two others that just, 409.900, and I think that might be it.
That, what did you say, what type of trunk system that was?
Motorola Type 2.
That should be enough. Is that... That's not the federal, the one on your website?
Yeah, that is the federal trunked repeater system. Drop the 409-900. That belongs to something else.
Roger, Roger. I was just going to program that in tonight into my radio because I'm doing a little bit of this stuff, getting into it. I never really got into some of the federal stuff, so I've been doing that. And you have a link on your website to another federal website, and that's a pretty good website, by the way. I wanted to mention. It escapes my mind which what was the name of it, but it's a good link. There's a lot of goodies up there too. Back to you.
That's why it pays to explore. You never know what you're going to run up against. Yeah. See. 416.950 and 415.950 are part of the trunk radio system as well. It's scattered all across that band.
Okay, Charlie, we won't tie it up anymore. Interesting, man. I appreciate it. And I hope everybody enjoys the rest of the net and the frequency. KC2JXC will be standing by after your return.
Okay, let's see, we've got one more with traffic before we look for any late check-ins, and that's Anthony over in Brooklyn, KC2JRH, and Toronto Bay, over to you.
Hey, good evening, Charlie, this is KC2JRH. Well, actually, I think you guys answered my question. I was going to ask what 123.050 was, but I think it's the helicopter frequency. I didn't know if it was the police or civil or whatever. Back to you.
Yeah, 123.050 and 075 are used for helicopter traffic in what's known as Class B airspace along the East River, the Hudson River, and New York Harbor.
Okay, I'm sorry, did you say Class B or Class D?
B as in Bravo. And that is for all helicopters, so it's going to be sightseeing helicopters, business helicopters, and they basically use those frequencies, 050 and 075, as what's known as UNICOM, and they talk to each other, they talk to the helicopter landing pads, it's where they keep clear of each other. As they get closer to the airports, they're going to use the Class B frequencies for Newark Airport or LaGuardia.
And another thing, you guys were mentioning about TVDX, I don't know, about 20, 25 years ago, I don't know how long it was, I picked up on my TV, on Channel 10, before we even had cable or whatever, I picked up Channel 10 in Altoona, Pennsylvania, I believe. I got their test pattern. It was late at night, about 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Wow, okay. I always thought that Channel 10 was WCAU in Philadelphia. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, when the propagation opens up, you can find some interesting catches. And there's some people that use those really large, you know, 10-foot-long antennas on their roof, and they were able to pick up much longer distances when the openings occurred. But, you know, if you've got a relatively modest antenna and you're picking up Pennsylvania, that's decent.
Well, I think it was as my portable TV was connected to a roof antenna at the time, and and what happened is, I'm not sure if it was channel 10 or channel 6, but it was in between, you know, when you had the dial that would click in, the old-fashioned UHF, VHF dial. But it was interesting, to say the least. I got the test pattern and also sound. Anyway, it's KC2JRH. Just wish you a happy New Year to everybody, and nice talking to you.
Comment, Charlie.
Hey, go ahead, Bob.
It's funny, I was just talking to a friend of mine out in Denver, and he used to live out here in Jersey, and many, many years ago, used to sit on 27 Meg talking to each other, lived a few blocks apart, and this is going back in the days where at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, TV stations would sign off. They weren't 24 hours a day, and we used to sit there, and I think it was around 2:15 in the morning, Channel 6 would sign off. And I remember it was the WFIL, and they had this announcer on there. I'd love to know what his voice is. If I search, I'd probably find it, but he had a very distinctive voice, and he would always sign off, and he would have the American flag waving, and he would give the station call letters as WFIL in Philadelphia, and really accentuate it. But I remember that. It was in black and white, and you'd see the Star Spangled Banner and the jets flying and the whole bit. And on the last note of the Star Spangled Banner, they'd pull the switch and you went to snow. But this is with rabbit ears. They just had a pipeline into, I lived down in North Arlington at the time.
WB2SGT.
Yes, Pete.
I am on the New York DXA homepage. How do I sign up for the Urban DXer email?
Send an email to nydxa@yahoo.com.
All right. nydxa@yahoo.com. All right. When I built my home in New Jersey, I live in Manhattan, I had one of the most powerful UHF antenna arrays with a microwave preamp. I could watch the Baltimore Orioles playing baseball. It really shook the house. I had to give that antenna up. It just shook the chimney.
That up as a kid.
I had a UHF TV range of about 200 miles.
In Jersey.
Hope, New Jersey, near the Delaware Gap.
Okay, yeah, I'm near Blairstown. Yeah, I could see that. There's some high ground up there. You know, what's also interesting is you're talking about TV, but if you get into AM broadcast band DXing, my cousin's got a condo down on Long Beach Island, right on the water. And a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go down there. I think it was like late October. You know, Long Beach Island, the traffic lights blink. Everybody's gone home, and it's a ghost town. So I ran, I don't know, probably close to 1,500 foot of wire right down to the water. I put about 8 feet of copper tubing right into the wet surf, and terminated the other end with a resistor, and ran this thing all the way back to the condo. It was basically an improper beverage antenna. But I was able to experience something that I've read about so many times, and that is when you get that close to the water with that type of an antenna, you actually get a certain type of RF conductivity from the ocean. And I was sitting there, and I logged, I forget how many countries, I got the QSLs here, but I logged Spain, I logged Italy, I logged France on the AM broadcast band. And I'm talking really solid copy. What's interesting is I could hear the heterodyne on the car radio, and when you drove a block and a half away from the ocean, it was gone. So there's a definite amount of conductivity with salt water and transoceanic propagation.
No doubt. I used to take my vacations Ocracoke Island, which is south of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. And let me tell you, no electrical interference. And what you could do with your radio was truly amazing.
Anyway, Charlie, nothing on the email. I just checked it again. I don't know if anybody's out there and their email shy or whatever. Well, we just got somebody right here. Okay, we got Steve, KC2OSA, is asking to be added to the newsletter. Steve, we got your email, and we'll be glad to put you in there. You can go to the website right now at www.nydxa.info, .info. Click on the newsletter archive, and you can download all the newsletters going back, 11 years if you want. The newest issue is on there, and henceforth you'll get it when it comes out. I'll add you to the list.
KC2OSA, thank you, and I'll go over to the website and check it out. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, Charlie, back to you. See if anybody else has any questions as a result of what we've been talking about or whatever. I'd just like to make a request. If anybody got a digital camera for Christmas and they want to share a picture of themselves, their equipment, their shack, their antennas, whatever, take a picture, send it to us. We'll put it in the newsletter. I like to include pictures in there. And it's nice to come out in full color. So if you want it edited or you want something taken out, I can do that too. Back to you, Charlie, N2NOV, WA2SQQ.
Got Justin.
4-10-4-0-1-7, buddy, happy New Year, and, Bob, yeah, I got a video camera for Christmas, so maybe one of these days I'll email you a picture of my command center. Who knows?
Hey, I'll hold you to it, Justin.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I'm just wondering, if we're, talking about shortwave on the water, I'm just wondering, have you... I'm curious what the antenna you got up on your roof there. Do you listen to any other codes, different codes on board that they have 20? Okay, I get the one in New York City loud and clear, but I know you probably can get other Coast Guard announcements from other areas. I'm wondering if you ever listen to them.
Oh, okay, Coast Guard? Well, 156.8, 157.05, and 157.1. I usually have those three in there. I would say on any given night, Coast Guard Mauritius, which I think is out in Long Island, of course, New York, when Atlantic City was active, Coast Guard Philadelphia, which I didn't even know they were down there, I can hear them. And if there's a band opening, I guess the best I've heard so far was Coast Guard down in Nags Head, North Carolina, down in there. I think it's North Carolina. I've actually copied them a few times, but that's you know, in the summer months. I've also mentioned, I mean, in fact, this afternoon, earlier this evening, I should say, I had the Motorola radio on in scan mode, and Wildwood was popping through. Not too strong, but I could still copy them. So, yeah, the diamond antenna does very well. And you get a good receiver on it, and you can do pretty good. But I would say reliably probably down in Philadelphia. I can hear the Coast Guard.
Check-in.
Check-in, just stand by one sec. Charlie, go ahead. If you want to take care of some more check-ins, it's 9:52 already. We'll see if we have any additional questions or check-ins. WA2SQQ.
Yeah, good time for it, Bob. Okay, stand by for additional check-ins. Again, if you can't get in on the repeater, you can always check in on email at nydxa@yahoo.com. Anybody who's checking in late, go now. Please space it out.
KC2 ENI.
KC2 LV2 at traffic.
D2 CDC with traffic.
2NOV, post-net question. KC2, QKS, hello?
Okay, KC2 ENI, KC2 LVC, KC2 CDC with traffic, and Frank in Brooklyn, KC2 QKS. Anybody else?
WA2 India, Whiskey Charlie, Manhattan, with traffic.
WA2 IWC, good signal. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Mark, why don't you go with your traffic? KC2 ENI, that's what I'll be.
What traffic?
Oh, thought you were checking in with traffic. You didn't say no traffic.
Sorry, no traffic.
Email.
LVC with traffic. All right. We had half calls and half syllables going on up there. You guys are keying up too quickly. Okay, Mark's got no traffic. So who else keyed up?
QQ with email.
Okay, Bob, hang on with the email. Let's see. LVC. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, just wanted to say hi to everyone. Happy New Year. And I wanted to ask if by any chance did anyone happen to record the Hoboken fourth alarm on December the 31st? I took a bunch of photos, but I couldn't record it, and I wanted to know if anyone did. If you did, just email me at kc2lvc@gmail.com, and I'd really appreciate it. And if anyone wants to see some of those photos, you can email me at that address also.
Okay, I don't know if anybody who did, but if anybody has, or you may know somebody who did, pass this message on to them. Anybody's recorded that big fire in Hoboken a few days ago, have them contact Matt, KC2LBC@gmail, and he's got photographs. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to do two things at once. Hey, Matt, maybe it's time to buy one of those digital recorders and hook it up to your scanner.
I usually record off the computer, but my hard drive is getting low, and I didn't want to leave it on because I didn't know how long I'd be there.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's always a perennial problem. Hard drive's filling up too quickly. Okay, Pete, you're up next. KC2 CDC, that's what I'll be.
Actually, I did check in before, but good evening to all. Good and happy New Year. Actually, this is too hard. One is market for Enter, and 96 was discontinued. I know that's been out for like over 3 years, and I know 996, and that's been out since May. Yeah. I don't mean the advantages of the newer one, or what the new one can do, opposed to the old one. And then there was one to add from about 2 minutes ago about the cell phone topic just in the course, but anyway, with the scanner, it's more important. Over to you, Charlie.
Okay, well, Mark, do you want to go over what you've noticed in playing with the 996?
Me? Oh, well, also.
Well, I know that it's too damn complicated, that's for sure. I think the biggest thing over the 796 is the APCO 25 stuff. And way more memories and the way they've kind of done away with all of this traditional memory bank stuff. I'm still trying to get my head around mine, but Yeah, it was definitely worth the money. Go ahead, Bob, because I know you've got one of those on your bench.
KTV recognized, one sec. Yeah, I have a 996. I've got a 796. I actually got about three of them, different models. I've kind of upgraded along the way. 996, and I know there's a handful of people that might argue, but I still say it's probably one of the best scanners I've ever had. It's very, very tight. I can put it on my big diamond antenna. I get no intermod whatsoever. I have somebody locally here that hates unit in and says they're a piece of junk, and I'm not going to get into that on the air, but I can tell you it's the only scanner I have, with the exception of my old 2006 that I can put on my diamond. I get no intermods. It's a fantastic receiver. It's also much, much tighter than the 796 or any of the other ones, and I'll give you an example how tight. On the Port Authority system, from where I am, I'm about, I don't know, three or four blocks away from the Nextel site. Well, Port Authority's frequencies are nestled right in with Nextel's frequencies, so I get a lot of adjacent channel, spillover. I actually had to use a very directional antenna and then the internal attenuator to get Port Authority to receive with about a half-scale signal and still some noise on the 796. I mean, I could copy it, but it certainly was not full quieting. The 996, I'm running a commercial 6 dB gain 800 meg antenna feeding with 9913s. I got tons of signal. Absolutely, positively no desensing from the Nextel signal, which is on the adjacent channel. The same for 800, so I don't know. One person in particular hates the 996 and hates unit in receivers, and maybe it's just his location, but what I can tell you from the 996 is it's a little pricey, but especially with an outside antenna, it's one of the best receivers I've ever owned.
Okay, let me see if I have it. Okay, this was my thinking. I never get, like, the first production run of anything. Likely so, you know, there's all kinds of firmware, software, this. I was thinking because the 96 has had, you know, such a long run, 3 years, and that is just, you know, it came out in May. I also think it would look good next year. Look good 780 that I had, but definitely the digital reception. So, tell me, don't get a leftover. Okay, I would know. I assume one of you had one, so take the info.
I want to make one more comment about it. You're not going to program this radio on the front panel. You can, but you'll be old and gray before you get done. Invest the money in the Butel software. It makes all the difference in the world. You triple the functionality of the radio. Programming becomes extremely easy. Changes become extremely easy. I use Butel software on all my radios. And their customer support is from hunger. I don't like their attitude, but they do make good software. So factor that into the price of your radio, and you will not be sorry. If you buy the radio and you plan a program from the front panel, reading the manual, you're going to get very frustrated. You're going to, you know, have all kind of issues. Buy the software, program it that way, and guaranteed you will be very happy.
What's the software package run?
What's the pro version? $69 or something like that? It's not terribly expensive. I mean, there's cheaper stuff out there. You can get Unitin software, which is free, and it works okay, but it doesn't have the capabilities that Butel has. I mean, if for nothing else, download the free software from Unitin and use that to program your radio. It's the problem that you're going to run into with the 996 is, what do they call it, dynamic memory or whatever. Everyone here has been accustomed to having, you know, a 500 or a 1,000 channel scanner, which is arranged in, let's say, 10 banks of 100 channels. This scanner is not like that. This scanner is roughly, what is it, 10,000 channels or something like that. The idea is you design a bank or a system. So, you know, with a 796, if you wanted to program in the New Jersey State Police, well, you program the frequencies in the talk groups, you used 8 or 10 frequencies, and the other, you know, 20 or 50 channels or whatever it is in that bank, well, basically they were wasted. Because you had a trunk system in that bank, and there's nothing else you're going to put in there, and there was a lot of wasted memory. 996 is completely different. You dynamically configure it. So what you do is you go in and you say, okay, I want to create a group. And you can put as few or as many channels in that group. So think of it as you have, you know, around 10,000 channels, okay, and each bank can be, you know, one channel or 50 or 100 or 200. You configure them. So you have a lot more flexibility in the way that you configure your banks.
Now, that sounds like a good idea.
I was able to receive an 097 for really cheap, and I wanted to mirror the 92, and I got the software for it. And I said, wow, you know, there's a lot of wasted channels here, especially if you're going to use it in a conventional, I mean, in a trunk system. Yeah, a lot of waste, absolutely. The other thing, by now that I got my roller radios, will any of that knowledge help me with programming this scanner, or am I going to have to learn something else now?
The software is easy to use. It's basically an Excel spreadsheet format. What is going to take a little bit of time for you to absorb is this whole concept of, you know, dynamic memory. I got it, and I got to be honest, it took me 3 or 4 days to realize what was going on. Now, you have the advantage of this. I've got a lot of stuff that I've already, you know, created, whether it's trunk systems or NYPD or FDNY.